ourselves stuck there, we might never move out of the place.
Yeah. Ryan climbed down onto the damp earth, scanning the line of abandoned houses. JB switched off the LAV and joined Ryan, wiping oil sweat from his forehead, replacing his time-worn fedora.
Reckon we have enough gas now to turn around and run for a quarter mile.
I don't see a mobile gas station.
A what?
Christie showed me a picture in an old magazine from the second of the World Wars. Painting by a man called Popper. I remember that it was a gas station. A mobile gas station. Lovely feel to it. Sort of a, I don't know, an amazing atmosphere.
I don't see any sort of store, or any sort of school, or church, or eatery, or gaudy. Dark night, Ryan. There's nothing here at all.
The first few buildings that they entered had obviously been deserted from well before skydark. What glass remained was crazed by the sun and covered in a pattern of spider webs. Doors hung crookedly from their hinges, and not a single roof was in place. Nor was there much evidence of anyone living there after the long winters. The recent heavy rain had destroyed any tracks that the main street might have held, though Ryan spotted what looked like muddy boot marks on the splintered boardwalk.
Sheltered like that, they could have been made any time in the last 100 years or so. Still, there were the tire treads coming up the trail.
Caution was second nature to the two old friends. Having decided to explore a little farther, they made sure that the WAG was safely locked and all of the obsolete secure. Despite its power and armor-steel, a quart of gas poured through an obsolete and ignited would quickly reduce the LAV to a glowing heap of twisted metal. Ryan slung the Styre across his shoulder, keeping the automatic in his hand. JB had the scatter gun at his hip, the Uzi strapped over his back.
Sure you want to do this, Ryan?
What?
Something I don't like here.
Ryan looked at his companion, knowing better than to mock him.
We haven't seen anything dangerous.
I know that.
Look, JB, if you want to get back in the wagon and see how far it'll take us, then I'll go along with you. You know that.
If Christy was here, she could feel if there was anyone living around here.
The main street bent around to the right, continuing toward the top of the hill, where it looked like it probably dead-ended.
It's been empty so long, there's no signs on the stores or anything.
It was as dead a Smallville as it was possible to imagine. But after the armorer's concern, Ryan found himself starting to feel the familiar prickling at his nape. He glanced behind him, making sure that the WAG was still safe where they'd left it. They turned the corner so that the rest of the settlement opened before them.
Fireblast. You were right. Something triple strange going down here.
It was as if there were two separate vills, one behind the other. The desiccated timbers of the old town, whitened by age, were replaced by a row of fresh-painted houses, about six of them, with a saloon, a couple of stores, a barber shop, and a law office. There was even a small school, with its bells swinging in the wind. But still, no sign of life. The two men spread out automatically, without a word being said by either of them. JB took the left side, keeping close to the shadows of the buildings. Ryan came first to the barber shop, a bright red and white striped pole mounted outside the door. The paint was sparkling new, and the window shone as if they'd just been cleaned. Ryan paused, his finger on the trigger of his gun. The doubts that JB had mentioned earlier were now firmly in the center of his mind. He glanced across, above the armorer, checking that there was no movement at any of the curtains at the second-story windows. JB was doing the same for him, the barrel of his M4000 Smith & Wesson raking along the row of buildings.
Nothing, Ryan. Not a breath of life.
Gotta be somewhere. Can't just have upped and walked away leaving this place. I swear the boardwalk along here was swept this morning.
Same this side. You going in?
I can't hear anything.
JB darted across the rain-smeared mud of the street, flattening himself against the wall of the barbers.
I'll cover you.
A large crow, yellow-beaked, flapped down the street and perched on the roof of the school, its head on one side, watching the pair of intruders. Ryan eased himself toward the half-open door, wincing as the boards creaked beneath his boots. There was still no sign of any danger, from Norms or Muties. He pushed at the door with the barrel of the Sig Sauer, so that it swung silently back, revealing the shadowy interior of the building.
Going in.
J.B. waited, his eyes scanning the rest of the deserted township, all of his combat-sharp senses ready for trouble. He started, the muzzle of the shotgun jerking upward, reacting to the sudden movement of the carrion crow, flying heavily away. There had been no sound from inside the barbershop.
Ryan?
The door opened wider, and the one-eyed man walked out.
Anyone in there?
Yes. And no.
Abe was on the move. Bullets whipped into the mud around him. The noise of the rifles from the flank of the hill behind them almost drowned out by the thunderous roaring of the river.
Make for the bridge!
Trader's long legs took him ahead of Abe, who didn't actually need the suggestion of heading upstream toward their only chance of safety. The two men that they'd killed had obviously been part of a larger group. Hunters, perhaps, or trappers. And their companions had returned. The bridge was covered in a glistening patina of bright red dust, the strongest color in the dark, damp gorge. It was suspended across the torrent on slack cables, weakened by age. The center of the bridge drooped so low that it was only a foot or less above the frothing surface of the river. Trader had the wicker basket of stolen food slung over his left arm and gripped the armalite in his right. Both men knew that there was no point in trying to stand and fight. The little cabin would keep them safe for a short while, but it would inexorably prove to be a death trap with nowhere to run, leaving them helpless like a pair of bottled spiders. To try to return fire against their unknown assailants would just be stupid. They had no cover, and the men with the long guns would have the advantage of numbers and height and plenty of places for them to hide among the rocks and stunted trees. A bullet gouged a furrow in the sodden turf a few inches to the right of Abe's feet. From the size of the hole, it looked like a large caliber musket ball.
Cover me while I cross, Abe!
Another round whined past the little gunner's ear, smashing into the basket carried by Trader. The container exploded in a mess of burst eggs and mildewed potatoes that spilled all over Trader's pants and boots, leaving him for a moment holding the curved splintered handle and nothing else.
Fuck it!
The spray from the falls was so dense that it drifted like fog, making it almost impossible to see anything clearly on the other side of the river. But Abe was sure he'd spotted a path of sorts. He hoped there was a path over the swaying ramshackle bridge just ahead of them.
Let him have it! I'll cover you from the far side!
Abe found, to his surprise, that he was still holding his .357 Colt Python, the stainless steel metal gleaming with tiny drops of water. Fighting to control his breathing, he dropped to his knees, looking for the first time behind him. For a few lung-bursting moments, he couldn't see any sign of the enemy that was shooting down at them. Then there was a muzzle flash and a burst of white powder smoke, and another, and a third. Trader was on the bridge, the wire stays singing and groaning at his weight. Abe gripped the butt of the big magnum in his right hand, steadying his aim with his left, pointing up into the swirling clouds. He fired one round, brought the 4-inch barrel back onto the target, waited a moment, then shot again. He risked another glance behind him, seeing that Trader's gaunt figure was almost across, his pants wet above the knees where the bridge sagged at its center. A bullet struck the earth right in front of Abe, showering him with mud and tiny, sharp splinters of stone, making him wince at the sudden stinging pain.
Ah! Oh, shit! A fucking brick!
Abe fired the last rounds from the Colt, spraying the cliffs opposite without even bothering to aim. He holstered the warm gun and started to scramble back toward the bridge, jinking from side to side, his boots slipping in the cropped, sodden turf, aware that the attackers would eventually get the range right. To Abe's great relief, he heard the flat crack of Trader's rifle. It was almost impossible to be sure, above the leaden roar of the river, but he thought he heard a high-pitched scream from across the valley. Abe's main preoccupation was with readying himself to tackle the rusted bridge. For a moment, he hesitated.
Move, you shit for brains, little fucker!
Trader's voice, from behind the ruins of a small stone hut on the far side, prompted Abe to start moving. Immediately, Abe felt sick, the bitterness of yellow bile rising into his throat, into his mouth. Abe spat out, blinking to try to clear his vision. He didn't think he'd ever been so frightened in his entire life. He gripped the two narrow ropes of plaited wire on either side, realizing that the actual walkway of the bridge was a number of rotted planks set crosswise, and that more than half of them had vanished, leaving gaps of varying width where the river frothed and raged just below.